You are listening to the Morning Review. My name is Lester Givett. Now, South Africa is moving closer and closer to the promulgation of the Control of Tobacco and Electronic Nicotine Delivery Systems Bill. It's a big name for essentially curbing the use of tobacco and nicotine products. Also, possibly a complete ban on smoking in public. Last week, the tobacco and vaping industry, they held meetings with government over this bill, which in effect tries to reduce the level of smoking in South Africa, also make the process less harmful. But also at the same time, there are certain sectors of the economy saying that this would be detrimental. Asanda Toye is the CEO of the Vapor Products Association of South Africa. You go a long way to say that vaping is not smoking, Asanda, but for people who only see the process of bringing a object to your mouth, inhaling something and blowing out what looks like a gas over smoke, smoking and vaping is the very same thing.
Good morning, Lester. Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, you are correct. I think not enough has been done to educate people out there that there is a significant difference between smoking and vaping. When you speak of smoking, you are inhaling and exhaling ignited tobacco products. So your cigarette, you actually then use a match and light it. And it's that process of combustion of tobacco where it becomes dangerous, because there's 77 known carcinogens in tar, which then cause cancer. Vaping, on the other hand, is you are inhaling and exhaling a vapor, which is produced by the electronic nicotine delivery system. You use a handheld battery. The liquid that you put inside is made up of mainly four ingredients. You've got your vegetable glycerin, flavoring, nicotine, as well as propylene glycol. So there is a significant difference between the two.
Whether you call it igniting something with a lighter or a match, or whether you're using a battery, to me it sounds like the same thing, Asanda. You are still inhaling to me, anything that's not air is carcinogenic, whether it be tobacco smoke, whether it be marijuana, or whether it be a vapor. It's not air, so it must be carcinogenic.
No, it's not. So I think when we go back to the basics, we understand that people smoke for the nicotine, but they die from the tar. This is where smoking is concerned. So the one ingredient that is the same with both smoking and vaping is the nicotine. So with vaping, you have removed all these carcinogenics, because I think it's important to note that it's the moment you light it. So that lighting process is what then makes those ingredients problematic. But in vaping, you're eliminating all of that to ensure that you get a cleaner or a less harmful alternative to the smoking. And it's not to say, you're rightfully saying that it can't be safe. Vaping is not 100% safe as well, but it is a less harmful alternative to the smoking.
Yeah, I'm not personally sold on the safety aspects or the health aspects of vaping. And this is me coming as also one would consider a smoker. My doctor says you smoke one a day, you're a smoker. So that's the bottom line. But at the end of the day, you're trying to separate these two bills. You are trying to separate the Control Products and Electronic Nicotine Systems Delivery Bill. You're saying that that's not us. We are electronic products and we are not a cigarette. Department of Health doesn't seem to think so.
Yes, they don't seem to think so, which is where we believe is a public health tragedy, because there is a big difference. And I think we need to start embracing the concept of harm reduction. We all know that cars are known to cause death, you know, through accidents. Alcohol is known to cause adverse effects to people who drink, but we need to start applying risk-appropriate regulations where we're saying we cannot do away with the harm, but where there are less harmful alternatives, it is a public health duty to embrace those and ensure that people are educated on those alternatives. To simply drive a dogmatic ideology that says quit or die is really not the way you do public policy. And I think that's where our bone of contention is, to say you can't force people to quit. Some people are unable to quit, you know. Mm. People have tried NRTs, they have not worked. And some are saying, I'd rather continue, but I don't want to die prematurely. So that's where the likes of vaping become an important element in harm reduction that we ought to be promoting.
Asanda, whether it is cigarette smoke or whether it is the fruity smell of a vape, if I don't want to be around vapor or cigarette smoke at that particular time, then I don't want to be around it. So therefore, I don't want to be in areas, particularly public areas. I smoke when I want to at least convenience or least inconvenience to others. And I'd expect the same from other people. So when we talk about a ban on vaping or smoking in public places, I would generally support that.
I think, Lester, you're not alone in voicing that particular point of view. And I think we need to separate two points where public vaping is concerned. If you are doing it simply from an aesthetics or a good manners point of view, where it's not good social behavior to be sitting with people and there you are puffing away, that's a different case. But you cannot be doing it from a health perspective where you are saying that there are health risks for non-users associated with secondhand vapor, because that has not been proven. You know, the Oxford Nicotine and Tobacco Research Journal noted a couple of years ago that e-cigarettes are a source of secondhand exposure to nicotine and not to combustion toxicants. So the available scientific research shows that secondhand cigarette smoking is problematic, but for vaping it is not. So I would say, if you're saying ban public vaping, it should be from a point of view of it's not socially appealing, you know, to be vaping and exposing people to those big clouds of vapor, but not from a health point of view.
Let's bring in Dick from Somerset West. You don't need to answer any other comments, but I'd just like to bring in Dick here. Dick, what's your comment this morning?
Oh, good morning, Lester. It's not a hugely serious issue to me, but look, you know, I'm an old man now. I've never smoked in all my life, but I've never actually objected to other people smoking. I believe in freedom of choice. Also, whilst, you know, I don't want to be surrounded by smoke as we once used to be in the cinemas, you know, all the time. A whiff of tobacco smoke across my nostrils once in a while is not going to kill me. And, you know, I can tolerate that in return for other people's, you know, freedom to do their thing, provided that they use reasonable care with it. Mm. And I think, quite frankly, we're getting way too excited over things like this, instead of leaving them be and focusing, you know, on quite frankly, things that matter, you know. Mm. That's my take on it.
Appreciate it, Dick. Look, if I'm not smoking, I don't want to smell smoke. That's my thing. And whether it be a vape or a smoke, keep it away from me when I'm not choosing to participate in that moment. But what's quite interesting, Asanda, is a changing industry. You know, we are steps away from legalizing private marijuana use. You can have devices that have THC or CBD oil that you can place in a vape. Is the marijuana industry and the soon, and I would wager a bet, the soon to be legalized marijuana industry, is that going to play a role in the economies of vaping products?
At this point, Lester, we do not see a link between the two. But what we are hoping parliamentarians will do is they would, for the vaping industry, apply the same consideration they did for evidence on the DACA issue to vaping. The decriminalization of DACA, we know we are where we are because they looked at the evidence, they looked at the science. So we are saying extend that same courtesy to vaping and other harm-reduced alternatives. Mm. And on our end, we are saying there is enough evidence out there to back our contention that vaping is less harmful. So we at this point are saying we do not see a link between the two, and we keep it like that. We as the Vapor Products Association take it a step further as well and say we advocate for the use of our products, our electronic devices, for not CBD and not for products that contain THC at this point. You know, we are saying we're speaking strictly of e-liquid that either has nicotine or doesn't have, and it needs to come from a reputable retailer as well.
Asanda Khoi, CEO of VPASA, the Vapor Products Association of South Africa. I'm not necessarily sold. I see it as one in the same. Asanda sees it differently, but I'd like to know your thoughts. 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567. Many people you're asking about the grave consequences. So what are the vaping studies revealing that have dangers of vaping? I don't necessarily buy Asanda's argument. That is her argument, and they claim it to be 95% safer. As someone who engages a smoking product, I know that whether something is not air, it is not healthy for me. And that's my point of view. What's yours? 021-446-0567. Let's go to a quick voice note. Johannes on 072-567-1567.
Hello. As the mother of a black child at a prestigious school in Cape Town, this conversation resonates so deeply because this is exactly what me and a group of parents are saying to the school. These conscious, deliberate conversations need to happen. We have to unpack the pain. We can't move forward until the stories are heard. And I suppose my message is thank you for having this talk on the radio today. And also, I suppose, don't be under the illusion that the prestigious schools are getting it right. Far from it. And the leadership needs to wake up because, children continue to be damaged. The raw, uncomfortable conversations have to be had.
And I think sometimes kids, as friends, have these conversations better than we do as adults. Yes, they also are confronted by systems, but at the same time, I think they communicate better with each other and have these discussions and these very meaningful conversations better than we do as grown-ups. And I think sometimes we can learn from that.